One Nation, everybody. Trills and Wills with you.
Hello.
CPL playoffs have begun. I want to dive right into this because we have a really good show, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about just about everything.
Okay.
CPL playoffs, Canadian men's national team. We're going to give a shout out to the NWSL, their decision day. A Canadian won the regular season title.
Hold on, was that your wink?
That was my wink.
Okay.
There was not something in my eye.
No, it's okay.
I was giving a little wink.
Just needed to clarify.
And then producer, you know, Ollie has decided to bring out
the box of surprises. What a game.
Do you remember that? I don't know if people remember that. I think we kind of did it during qualifying or heading into World Cup where you basically just have to we stick our hand in a box. We don't know what's in there. Something comes out and then we
have
to decide.
Some of us stick our hand in the box. Others look into the box and then pick out
You have
card.
Zero proof that I cheated. I just whooped your behind and you cannot accept that.
It hurts.
Yeah, good. Let that sting even longer.
It hurts.
When I win, I don't feel sorry for the loser. Do you know who might be a loser in this case?
Oh, beautiful segue.
Wah. Pacific, because they've lost a key piece to their roster. So here's the thing. So Pacific, they beat York. We're going to get into just how incredible it was that they even did this cross-country travel after defeating York in the fourth and fifth games. And they go to play Halifax. So literally from Pacific to Halifax. What is that, a six-hour flight?
It's crazy.
Play on the Wednesday, then play in the afternoon on the Saturday. They beat Halifax 1-0. But then there was a
kerfuffle?
Brouhaha. I love using that word. Anytime I can, I will use that word.
Brouhaha?
Brouhaha at the end of it all. And now it's starting to come to light what happened because Daniil Henry, he got upset.
And Shirt was off.
He got red carded as well. Then we started to hear about players saying, somebody on their team did something. We didn't like it. So we had to do something about it because they did it to our fans. And there's video that has emerged. You could take a look at this. And it looked like it was Kunle Dadaluk doing a wrestling gesture. Maybe you could take it from here. So he too gets red carded. 2 games suspended.
So much to talk about. Okay, yeah. But first the wrestling gesture. It brought me back to X-Pac, Triple H.
Mm.
I got suspended at school because you do this gesture. It's worse than almost giving the finger. It is, Trills.
You were a bad child.
I'm gonna call your mom
and get all the stories.
Don't do that. She'll literally drape me up from what I did 20 years ago. Anyways, but yeah, that gesture, Kunle Dadaluk does it to the fans. You can see on the video, Nimit comes.
Yeah.
Fillion comes as well. And this is what got Daniil Henry all up, you say, in the brouhaha?
He got caught up in the brouhaha.
He got a bit upset. But we got to talk about the red card, because now he's suspended, Kunle Dadaluk, 2 games. He's missing the rest of the season.
Pacific has appealed. As of the taping of this show, they have appealed, and we don't know the result of that.
So let's talk about it, because for me, obviously, I have to say it. I'm thinking, if you're Kunle Dadaluk, if I'm a teammate of yours as well, I don't think you should do the gesture just because as soon as the whistle's blown, you're just thinking about the next game. Let's get out of here. Let's grab our chips. Let's go back into the locker room. But I feel like a lot of people will be like he was hard done by to get a red card and be out for 2 games as opposed to getting fined. But let's just talk about that, Trills. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's where I was. Do you think this is a fineable offense or a suspendable offense? I said it was fineable. So you give them a fine, because to me, really suspend somebody, in particular in the playoffs, and we'll also get into what it means for a team to lose a player during the regular season versus the playoffs. But to me, when you suspend, it's like we're talking nasty gestures that are about, killing somebody, right? You cannot do that. We've seen the throat slashes, immediate suspension. We've also seen racial gestures.
For sure.
Immediate suspension. That, and somebody will say, listen, but Andy, what he did was a sexual connotation, which, children and they're watching and everything. But I'm just like, is that where do we draw the line between, yes, it's an offense. I'm agreeing that it's an offense. But I feel like you fine somebody for something like that. Because if you also kind of look at it, it wasn't like, he didn't jump up in a fan's face.
No.
He didn't jump up in he was kind of twirling around in his own little section there on the pitch too.
Yeah.
And yes, what you're saying takes a lot of emotion out of the game. Whistle goes, job done, grab your stuff, grab your water bottle, grab your towel, okay, grab your little knapsack, go home. But in the heat of that moment where it sounds like, I mean, Halifax, the fans are incredible. I can only imagine they were also on him all game, just sure giving it. The whistle goes, and then he probably had this kind of moment, which I can relate to. I'm a very emotional person. So he just did a little thingy and whatever. Get fined. I don't know if it's suspendable.
So I agree with you. I think the fine, but I also think there's a couple of things here with the CPL. I think there needs to be set rules for certain things. So if you do that gesture, you do a gesture to fans, there should be, no one wants to lose money. Like if you told me that's a $500, $1,000, whatever it was, fine for doing a gesture to a fan at the end of a game, I'm not doing it again. I'm not trying to lose money. I don't think Kunle Dadaluka or many players in this league would want to do that. I think also, too, playoffs is a tricky time because you have Halifax Wanderers who the season ended. They're going to be far more emotional than Pacific who have won and are moving on. Mm-hmm. So there's so much that can happen at the end of the game. To give a red card to Danielle Henry, to give a red card to Dadaluka. Danielle Henry is like, okay, whatever. I'll take my red. But for Kunle Dadaluka, that just puts Pacific in like behind the eight ball. They don't have another player to replace him. And I just think maybe in that situation, a fine would have been perfect. Also, if we just had a rule book of certain things, if you do this, this is what happens. I think that's where the league needs to go because there's so many of these situations. You go to Canada Soccer.
Okay.
And then it's like,
yes.
Yeah, you go to Canada Soccer, they make a decision, then you're just like, oh man, there's nothing you could do about it. Maybe they're going to appeal, but I feel like I know how these things work. Kunle Dadaluka's not playing in the next game.
This is another topic I wanted to bring up with you because a reminder to everybody that Canada Soccer is the one who reviews all this and they're the ones who issue the discipline. Should the CPL have control over their own discipline?
I think so.
Own players.
I think so. Do you think so as well?
I think so.
Because
to your point, then you can start coming up with a rule book. Then you can also, the players are aware. If you do this type of offense, it's either this fine or this type of suspension. And if it's this type of suspension, it's either 2 games, 3 games, 5 games, whatever it is. Also in leagues, the NHL does this, and I know other leagues do it, but of course I just refer to the NHL. It's a league I covered for many years. A certain offense in the regular season may be more games because it's a regular season. That exact same offense in the playoffs may be 1 or 2 games because they view playoff games to obviously matter more.
Agreed.
So for Dadaluka, it's like, yeah, we get what you did. In the regular season, 2-game suspension, but in the playoffs, should that be 1 game or should that be a fine? Because now you understand the implications of playoff games versus regular season.
I'll just land the plane quickly on Dadaluka as well. Probably the best game he's played all season. Like he put everything together. I think that he was just defensively sound. To get a red card when the whistle's blown and you've already won has to be the worst feeling.
Oof, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you've played the game and I understand referees can only do so much because they only have 2 cards to really control things. You have a yellow, you have a red, and you can say, hey, stop doing that and blow the whistle. When the game's done, you have all this testosterone, all these guys running around, shirts off, saying the season's done or we're hard done by. It's so much to control. So all you can maybe do is give a red or whatever. But when you look back on it, I'm sure when Kunle Dadaluka looks back on it, I don't think you do the gesture just because you avoid all of that. But it goes without saying, obviously, I feel like he should have been fined as opposed to the red card.
Cavalry might be a little happy because that is a key player that's missing for Pacific because Cavalry will have to play Pacific. And if you remember back in 2021, that controversial was it in, was it out ball, that was Dadaluka. That was Pacific who eliminated Cavalry, and it was Dadaluka who kicked the ball through Carducci's legs. Carducci, it was an own goal, but it was Dadaluka who created that. So Cavalry's probably like, bye, bye. But here's the thing. Cavalry's now in a position where they have to take on Pacific. So let me take you through what was an incredible weekend. So Pacific, obviously, they defeat York United 1-0 on the Wednesday. Cross country, 6 hours, probably even longer travel day the next day. Got to get their legs under them. Time change as well on top of that, but they go and they defeat Halifax 1-0. Then you have Cavalry and Forge.
So, you go first.
I've been telling you this matters. The playoffs matter. And I'm not coming at Cavalry. I'm coming at you.
Nah,
and I'm coming at Wheels. And I'm coming at Ollie.
First of all.
Because you're like, this is the greatest season ever for Cavalry. This
is
the best. Job done.
I didn't say that.
I'm like, they have work.
I sound like that?
To do. That is how you say. They have work to do. They have demons to exorcise.
Agreed.
In the playoffs.
Agreed.
And Forge went, yeah. we are your demon. 2-1, Forge beats them, which means they go automatically to the final. Forge will be hosting the final, not Cavalry, who had an incredible regular season. It will be Forge. Cavalry now have to go and play Pacific. So it's not even guaranteed that Cavalry is going to get the rematch with Forge in the final. They have to go through Pacific. So you tell me this. Does Forge still have Cavalry under their thumb?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And, no need for and before,
hold on, I have a few things to say because you came with a lot of heat, but I'll try to dissect it all. Yeah, my voice is not that high. Anyways, Forge always get the better of Cavalry in playoffs. And Wheels has said that. I have said that. Ollie have said that. They said this is the last thing for them to do. What we did say is that in a 28 for the 28 games, it is harder to perform at that level for 28 games. And you are hell-bent that playoffs matter.
Playoffs is what
Of course the playoffs matter.
And they do matter. However, the season also matters, is what we said. We both matter.
But of course it matters. But at the end of the season, how are you feeling as a player, as a fan base, if you don't go and win that title? You can't sit there and tell this was a successful year.
I think if they go and go to the finals, they beat Pacific, and they go and lose to Forge in the finals at Tim Hortons Field, it hurts. Because they're like, this is a team we cannot beat in the playoffs. But the silver lining.
Is it though?
Yeah.
It'll be a silver lining maybe next year when the players line up in CONCACAF Champions Cup. They're like, wow, we're in this tournament.
I think it's
but
more...
you can't tell me they're not going to look back on the year and go, pfft. And here's another thing. I'm going to share a story of someone who's actually experienced it. This is not me. I'm going to be quoting an actual expert on the matter.
Okay.
Also known as John Conway. I refer back to my husband who played many years in Major League Soccer. He's experienced both. 2005, he played for San Jose Earthquakes. They won the Supporters' Shield. Knocked out in the conference semifinals. And he said it felt like the season was a wash, that it was just for nothing. Because you go and you have this incredible regular season and you don't win the title. He goes, it was a bitter, bitter pill to swallow. Fast forward to 2017, wins the Supporters' Shield with TFC and wins the title. All around successful year. So he's experienced both. And again, now he's all one person. All players are different. But he said it does matter winning the title, because when you end, how you end the season is what matters. And we ended it as losers. We ended it as losers.
Okay.
So that's why it was like a bitter pill. So of course, MLS, it also mattered, right? If you won the Supporters' Shield, qualification to CONCACAF Champions League title. So all that stuff was still the same.
So do you think, my question to you, because I know where you're coming from and I agree with you. I think both matter, but I understand you end your last season with a loss and you're like, man, but look, do you think it matters because it's Forge that keep beating Cavalry? Do you think that's the reason? Like, for example, if they were to lose to another team, but they still had a great season, don't you think that this is what the big deal is?
No, because they can't get to the title. Yes, I mean, Forge obviously adds that like extra little vinegar or salt in the wound, whatever it is. But if they can't get it done, I just finished saying it was Pacific that eliminated them in 2021, right? Like, they need to, for me, it's still, the story isn't done yet. Of course, you're going to say regular season, fantastic. You're in CONCACAF Champions Cup, great. But I think even for these players themselves, like even Tommy said it, they're down. They're out. They look at that first goal off that corner kick and they're just like, what the heck happened?
Yeah, you wanted more of a response from them. But you brought up Pacific. Mm. So they basically, they're a tiki-taka football club, love to possess, play attractive football. They're a bit more pragmatic, primitive, whatever you want to call it. They were just like no nonsense on the weekend. So they go into a game where they're playing Cavalry away at Spruce Meadows. If you win that match, you're playing in the final.
Yeah.
Do you consider Pacific right now contenders? Just, there's three teams left, by the way, Chos. That's
you
it.
You have to.
Because even I like though, this Petrillo, by the way.
But of course, but
spicy.
What was it? Three losses heading into the playoffs?
Yes, they look poor. And 3 months of just like dreadful football.
Bad.
It was stinky.
Yes. And this is where, and I get it, right? So I get that I'm arguing both sides, where it's like Cavalry's incredible in the regular season, can't get it done in the playoffs. Now you've got Pacific, who's stinky, especially in that second half of the regular season, but they managed to get it done in tournament-style football. So are they really better than Cavalry? No, over a longer stretch, no. But what matters is right now. And right now, they're playing good football. Would I still say, are they better than Cavalry? Well, no, not really, because Cavalry only played one playoff game, right? So obviously now Pacific is going to be playing in their third. But these are tight games.
Yes.
These are tight games, and they're finding a way to get it done. But Dada Luke, that's a huge piece. He's out. How's James Merriman going to adjust? And I think the only thing that will beat Cavalry is Cavalry in many ways.
Okay.
They got to get out from between the ears a little bit, right?
You know, they had a slip up, and Tommy Wilson Jr. mentioned it. He's like, this is our one that we've had in a very long time. We had one slip up. I think the crazy part about all of that is they had that one slip up in the playoffs. Like, it's different if you had it when the last 13 games, they had one game and they just kind of, they fell asleep. But this is a time when Cavalry should be playing their best and then didn't. So doubt might creep in. But you're still looking at the side. It looks like they have enough to at least get back to the final. And then at that point, we could talk about exercising demons and whatnot. But it's getting spicy with these three teams that are left.
Basically, all we're saying is you got to be watching the CPL playoffs. They're highly entertaining. So Cavalry Pacific will go on October 21st right here on One Soccer. Let's end this off with the two teams that are now out of it. That would be Halifax and York United. So if you have one word to remember their season, just one word, what would it be? Let's get it out.
One word for Halifax Wanderers for me, watching all 28 games, I'm going to say upgraded. Hmm. Upgraded their brand, upgraded obviously the arsenal, the players that they have, the clientele, upgraded, yeah, like just superstars. Like if you're looking at them last season, you have a Rampersad that is playing defensive midfielder and also attacking mid in many respects. Now they have a Lorenzo Calegari, you have an Aiden Daniels that stepped up, you have a Mo Omar that just had a decent season last year and looked like one of an influential player for the squad. So they've upgraded a Perutz up top. Mm. Like Massimo Farrin, can't talk enough about him, just his eight goals and all the contributions he's had going forward. They have a really good side, a Dan Nimick. Like, we can go on and on about this Halifax side. They've upgraded. They played attractive football. And I think the next bit for them is just kind of changing things up a bit and adding on to that, because Pacific said, hey, we're going to park the bus and you're going to beat us down the wing. And they didn't really have an answer for that. But moving forward, hopefully they do once
so you
get the group
upgraded.
Together.
I'm along the same theme. I'm inspiring. Because you're right. I mean, this was like a lot of new players that came from League One. So they already had upgraded into CPL, new coach as well, who was in CPL for the first time, and they got into the playoffs.
Yes.
It was inspiring.
And that was the goal. And honestly, they play the second best brand of football in the league. They do. Like, this season, they play better than Forge, and they were just literally tied on points with Forge. So it's a heck of a year for them.
What about York United?
I'm going to say trying. That is the word. And it's a double entendre, because I think the core group of players that played for York United, they tried. Like, they gave their all the time, even though it was a dip, even though they're losing 4-1 at Pacific, even though guys weren't ready and playing, they tried. But then it's also trying, because the actual word trying is like tough, hard, demanding. Like, it was just a lot for this group to get over the hump. And even if you look at the last game against Pacific, they should have got more out of it, but they were just that close to taking it into extra time and maybe going further, because they probably needed more bodies that were ready and available. So that's the word of the season for them.
Mine was going to be uncontrolled.
Oh, wow.
Because in some games they were controlled. Other games, they weren't. So it was just, maybe the word a little bit too more would be unpredictable.
Mm.
You just never knew what you were going to get.
That's a great word.
And they ended up getting into the playoffs, and then
we did.
Just like,
and that was almost an ace card, right, Trills? Like, you didn't know what type of York United you're going to see on
maybe
the day.
Maybe unpredictable more than a little uncontrolled. Yeah, but that's kind of along the same type
like
of
it.
Thing. There we go. I want to give a shout out to the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League. It was decision
Come
day on the weekend. And our girl, Kaylin Sheridan, goalkeeper of the national team with the San Diego Wave, claimed their shield. So they're regular season title winners. Great on her. And they actually they didn't defeat the Portland Thorns. The Portland Thorns lost to another team. San Diego won against Racing Louisville. Portland Thorns lost to Angel City. So they actually beat out, once again, Christine St. Clair's side, who played all 90. Janine Becky, who does play for Portland, still out with the ACL. But they claim the shield. Canadians still in the playoffs because OL reigns in it. That's Quinn and Jordan Heidema.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Sydney Collins, who's still in it with North Carolina Courage.
Love the left foot.
Gotham has Victoria Pickett, who's still playing as well. So, I mean, even though there aren't a lot of Canadians in comparison to obviously Americans in the NWSL, they're definitely a factor in the NWSL playoffs. And now Portland and San Diego go straight to the semifinals. So they're going to be awaiting their opponents. That'll be early November.
You know what? It's Canadians can ball.
Yeah, they say can.
Yep. We can ball.
Love it. Unfortunately, the Canadian men's national team didn't do so well against Japan. And, I mean, Mauro Biello said it after the game. Like, you know, give credit to the opponent you're playing. Japan had scored four more goals in four straight games heading into that game against Canada. You now make that five straight games because it was a 4-1 loss for the Canadians. Junior Hoilett getting like an 89th minute goal. So it was more of a consolation at that point. It was already 4-0. What do you learn from a defeat like that?
I mean, there's levels to this. I think when you're talking about CONCACAF and then you're talking about the rest of the world, there's levels. Like Japan, this Japanese side, we watch it early in the morning, shows it was there with you. I was there with KJ as well. They ball. Like I've played in games when you're playing against better competition and the goal is, yeah, make it hard for them. Get in their face, press them. Let's hold a medium block. Let's keep them to one side. When a team is, as soon as you go to press them, they play beyond you and do a 1-2 or guys running, taking off in the midfield, you got to go and track them. When they're a step ahead of you, it just, that's what you get, a 4-1 defeat. And like, this is no, I'm not slating any Canadian player. I'm just saying, let's call a spade a spade. When a team is firing and you can't catch them, you can't keep up with them. And for Canada, they started poorly, literally giving up a goal in the first
second,
two. Yeah, like 2 minutes in, like passes back to the keeper, is going out of bounds. Like it started so slow. That just makes it worse, right? The only chance you really have against a Japanese team is starting well, containing them. If you don't do those two things, I think it's just an uphill battle to start the match. So I think I've learned, or what was shown to me, it's just like there's levels to this. For Canada, yes, it's a talented team, but like you have to make sure that you take care of every minute detail going into a match. And when you start a match, because if you don't, you have a Japanese team like that that will score four and it could have been six on the day.
Yeah, and we know at one point it could have been 1-1. Jonathan David stepped up for a penalty kick that was saved by Osako. What could have, should have, we don't know. But it ended up being a bit of a mess for the Canadians. And there's a stat here, and this is what bothers me a little bit, because I know heading into that Nations League final, there was a lot of talk of Kings of CONCACAF. Are you the Kings of CONCACAF? Because they did win CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. They finished, you know, top. And a lot of, you know, some of the players themselves were actually split because some were like, yeah, like we did well and there you go. The other half is like, no, we're not. Because in order to be Kings of CONCACAF, you have to have trophies. And they don't have trophies, right?
Yes.
Didn't win Nations League final. Haven't won Gold Cup since 2000. So if you're not the Kings of CONCACAF, how are you going to do even outside your region? So that was a little preamble to get you to this stat. So since qualifying for Qatar, Canada has played 8 matches against teams ranked above them in FIFA world rankings. They're 1-1-6 in those games. 7 goals scored, 18 conceded. Like that to me is like, if we're talking about this team taking that next step, A, they got to start winning trophies in CONCACAF. Or else, what are you going to do at, you know, Copa America, FIFA World Cup 2026? Oof. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I hear
now
you.
Now you just start to get like a little concerned. And none of this takes away from World Cup qualifying, how inspirational that was, the ride that this country was on. Nothing takes away from that. But again, that will only be remembered for so long.
Yes.
If you start to dip and you don't, you know, I mean, obviously success comes in way, like, you know, two steps forward, maybe 3 steps back. But at some point you got to take 5 steps forward and maybe only 1 step back. You can't do like a massive dip like that.
I agree. And 2 things can be true. We could look at this squad, this Canadian team, and say they played some inspiring football. They brought the country together. They had so many people believing, right? Many people, I've always been a footy fan, but many people were like, oh, this Canadian team, right? When they're beating Jamaica at BMO Field, like there was vibes. There was just so much around the squad. You're not just going to shoot up and it's all just going to be an exponential rise and everyone's like, oh yes, everything's good. You're going to go to a World Cup and struggle. Granted, that was a very tough group. Very tough, but it's just like football.
You're in the World Cup.
Like, yeah, that's just what it is. Yeah. I think though, when you say those stats though, Trill, 7 goals scored and then 18 conceded, an area to get better at, I guess, is all the areas. Like defensively is one thing. I know when you play 3 in the back, like there's holes and there's gaps, but it's just like defending better as a unit has to be a priority. I think the midfield 3 trio, 2 whatever clientele, that has to be something that is talked about and kind of gets revisited and hopefully gets pumped in. I know like Peyton got on. There's players that I know Eustachio wasn't there, who's huge for the team in terms of tempo and how you want to play. But that has to be addressed. But then also an area that people don't really talk about because talent is there, but it is goal scoring. I'm not saying that just lies on a David or a Laren or Hoylett or players like that, but it could also just be how Canada wants to play, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe how they're doing it and is a bit skewed. So I think that needs to be looked at as well. So it's all of it. But I will say the last thing is this is what you want. If you want to call yourself a football nation, you have to dissect things. Every other country that is a football nation, they talk about it. They dissect. He shouldn't be playing there. This should be happening. You're not slating anyone. That's how you grow. That's how you get the team to be better. So I love that we're having these conversations. I love that they're getting this test, the Japan that gave them 4. Like, that is how you get humble, right? If you're a boxer, the only way that you're going to get better is to have someone that you know that can knock you out if you're not on your best. So this is good for Canada.
I don't want to get knocked out. But 2 big games coming up in November. And it's not just for the team, but also for Mauro Biello, who's made it perfectly clear. He wants to be the head coach. He wants the interim tag removed.
Give me this.
I'm not. They're upside down,
yeah, but
too.
Look, you just didn't show it.
Oh, no, I know.
Look at that. No, you didn't know because you're about to go like this.
Well, I was looking at it. No, I wasn't.
So who are you showing Box of Surprises to right now?
Myself. I don't want you to... play with
don't them. Just leave it here because you're always cheating.
Oh, I
just
do not cheat. I legitimately whoop y'all. You know what's it?
Okay.
I'm not saying anything because I don't want to get fined or suspended. So we've played this game before. It's the One Soccer Box of Surprises, and it's called Will You Watch It? And I guess we have to draw a card from the box, read what's on there, and we're gonna say if we'll watch it.
Ladies first.
Okay.
I'll hold it.
I don't know how you win this though. Like, what are we winning?
No, it's just play. Just have some fun. You don't always have to win.
What am I doing?
Just okay. Yeah.
Get out of
here. No. Because this is how you cheat. Always go and look. Yeah.
Men, they just can't handle when a woman beats them back.
Look at. Hold on. Let
Do
me
I just
see
take
the dance
the top
again.
One?
Yeah.
Do I just
it.
Take the top
take
one?
Take whatever one you want. I was trying to do the little card shuffle thing.
See, now you're leading. You know what? I'll take the top one.
Ooh,
forget you. I'll take
okay.
the top one. Ah, Beckham documentary. 4-part series. Will I watch it? No, I will watch this. I will light
some it?
Candles. I will get my popcorn out. And here's the thing. I love David Beckham. I love Victoria even more. Spice Girls were
Spice
my
up
jam
your life.
In high school.
Spice up your life.
Yes. Of Sorry. Course I'm going to watch this. So I have like, I never had a chance to interview David Beckham, but when I was covering Major League Soccer and I was sideline and LA Galaxy, they were in Toronto. I had to do my halftime interview and he didn't need to walk like where I was. He could have like walked somewhere else, but all I heard, so these two hands very gently on either side was like, you know, excuse me, love. And I was like,
touch
oh.
your shoulder?
Yeah.
How do your shoulders are just like this?
I was like, shimmy, shimmy, yay, shimmy, yay, shimmy, yay. I was like, yes.
All of a sudden, you became like a backup dancer slash cheer. You're just doing the interviews like this. Hey, yeah. Hey, hey.
I was like, no problem. I'll just move a little bit over to the side here. Anyways.
That is great. Shout out to Bex.
Yeah.
My favorite player, Zinedine Zidane, said this, and this is what I love about Beckham. He said he treats everyone the same.
Yeah.
Custodian, CEO, class human.
What are you watching?
The Golden Bachelor. The Bachelor, but the guy is 72 years old. Yeah, I'm okay.
Are you going to watch that?
No, thank you. I'm okay.
I am not watching.
You sure?
No, I'm just not watching The Bachelor, period. That is, that's not ages. I'm just not watching The Bachelor.
Okay, fair.
So forget it. I don't care who gets a rose, doesn't get a rose. Have fun with your life.
Okay, this.
Why are you mixing things?
No, I'm just trying to give you options.
You know what? Give me that middle one. Stop it.
Okay.
Cavalry versus Pacific. Of course I'm watching the CPL semifinal Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern right here on One Soccer.
That's nice.
I have a lot of good shows that I'm watching. What are you watching?
Right now?
Well, the gold now and?
England versus Italy. England hosts Italy at Wembley in key European Championship qualifier. Tuesday, 2:45 p.m. Eastern. Are you watching Italy win or lose?
Ollie, KJ, you're going down. Just like
you
did
it, though?
In the European final.
You believe it?
Of course.
You think Italy's winning?
Yes.
Okay, no, I'm just asking.
They just can't qualify for the World Cup, but they win all their other matches unless it's North Macedonia. No, I lose. Well, The Exorcist, in theaters, a sequel to the 1973. Guess what I'm not doing is watching that. But you know what I am watching right now? Tales from the Crypt.
Do you
remember that show from like the early 90s?
I do not.
Tales from the Crypt. Anyways, they're like these little 20-minute kind of weird, twisted, little scary things. I'm obsessed with watching that right now, but will not be watching that freaky stuff right there. That is disgusting. She is like, yeah, throwing up everywhere.
Nah, I'm okay, man. That's a demon thing. I don't play that.
Although
that's...
I do love Halloween.
Why, though?
It's also the holiday of Samhain. Because I may or may not be a witch. Just because I don't wear a pointy hat, don't be fooled. No comment from you. Anyways, whatever this was, I just won.